Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Matthew with Pastor Dave. In today's message, we'll be going through Matthew chapter 20, starting in verse 29, ending in verse 34, where we see that, in comparison to Jesus, everything else in life pales in comparison. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave with a message entitled, Blind Bartimaeus and Merciful Jesus.
It is great to be with you. If you have a Bible in your hands, would you turn it open to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20. If you didn't bring a Bible with you this morning, the verses that we're studying will be on the screen directly behind me. God willing, we'll be handling verses 29 through 34 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20. I'm calling this message this morning, Blind Bartimaeus and Merciful Jesus. And so please follow with your eyes as I read out loud these verses collectively. We'll pray, and then we'll move through it systematically here and allow the Lord to minister the richness, the preciousness of His holy word to our hearts. What a beautiful time of praise and worship. Amen. It's such a wonderful opportunity to get lost in His presence and just to get a taste of heaven, what it will be like when we are before His throne and we get to put a face with His name. What it will be like when it is uninterrupted. There are no time constraints. You know, what it will be like when we are before Him without any distraction, without any concerns or cares or interruptions, just able to sing praises to His beautiful, precious name. If that doesn't excite you or interest you, I got to tell you something. Worship is the main activity of heaven. So you're going to want to get into worship if you're looking forward to heaven. I mean, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to worship the Lamb who was slain for our sins and how glorious it will be. We are in Matthew 20, verse 29. Please follow with your eyes as I read out loud through our text here this morning. It says, and they departed from Jericho, and a great multitude, verse 29 of Matthew 20, followed Jesus and His disciples. And behold, consider this, verse 30. Two blind men were sitting by the wayside when they heard that Jesus passed by. And when they heard this, they began to cry out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And the multitude, verse 31, those who were following Jesus in this religious parade, they rebuked these blind men because they should hold their peace. But these blind men, end of verse 31, the detail of Luke is that they began to cry out so much more the saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And Jesus stood still, verse 32, and He called them and He said, what would you that I shall do for you? And they said back in verse 33, they said, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus, He had compassion on them, and He touched their eyes, and immediately, I love the phrase there in verse 34, immediately, the description is so beautiful, immediately they received sight, and they followed the Lord. Jesus, we thank You for Your word this morning. We thank You, God, for where You've brought us, Lord, where You've prepared us, Lord, to be today. This table that You have set before us, God, in the presence of our enemies, we give You great thanks, Lord. There's such a beauty and a preciousness here in Your word before us today. And I'm asking of You that You would open our ears and open our eyes to see the truths, Lord, that are found here in this text. Lord, the attributes, Lord, the nature of You, God, that You would reveal and illuminate these things to us. That we would leave here today with what we need to leave here with. You know how we came in, God. You know what's been affecting our hearts, Lord, our mental state, Lord. You know where we are this season of life, and only you can meet a room of so many people exactly where each of us are individually, and we're asking that of you this morning. I'm expectant, Lord, for you to work. I'm anticipating, Lord, that you're going to move by your Spirit because we're giving place to your word. So I'm asking you, and those who are in agreement with me, we are asking of you, please, Jesus, would you show us your glory? We believe that you are the same today as you were yesterday and you will forever be. And we're asking for a glimpse, Lord, like you gave to Moses. When you pass by and you let him see your backside, Lord, your afterglow, we're just asking for a bit of that today, Lord, that you would pass before us. We're not even asking to have a face-to-face with you. We just want to see your backside, Lord. We want to see you just move through the midst of us, Lord, that we can feel you and experience you in a real, living, powerful way. We need you. There are so many blind Bartimaeuses here among us today. We need you. I am a blind Bartimaeus to a degree, and I need you, merciful Jesus. So do something supernatural, we ask. Something that man can't conjure up or deliver in and of himself. Speak to us, we ask now, by your holy written word. In Jesus' name, amen. Spurgeon said something that I think is so wonderful to share with you. He said, and I quote, "Mercy needs misery to give an occasion to work," close quote. Let me say that to you again. Mercy needs misery to give an occasion to work. You have to be in a place where you are desperate to experience the mercy of God. You've got to be low for him to lift you high. You've got to be kind of down and out by the wayside, if you would, to experience the real depths of the mercy and compassion and grace of God. If you are high, then you don't really, you know, if you came in here high and excited and everything is hunky-dory sort of, well, then you're not really in a position to be a full recipient of the mercy of God in the season of life that you are in. But if you're here today and you're broken, you're hurting, you're here today and you're confused, you're confounded by life's circumstances that it's thrown at you, just the position, the season that you find yourself in, that I believe, like Spurgeon said, that you are in a perfect place to experience the mercy of God and the grace of God and the love of God, for it to be lavished on you in an unparalleled manner that you've ever experienced before. Bartimaeus, one of the two blind men here this morning, was in that state. I have his name because of Mark's gospel, Mark 10 and Luke 18. The synoptic gospels record this same story. They give details that Matthew leaves out. Now, all three of the gospel's recordings are beautiful because they're like a puzzle. They fill each other. They fill things that the other one left out. Matthew was an eyewitness. Matthew was there when Jesus performed this miracle that we just read, when he gave sight to the blind. That is the miracle that Jesus did more than any other physical healing miracles in the Gospels that are recorded for us, giving sight to the blind. Some five specific times we find him doing this, plus numerous other times of him just generally healing those who couldn't see. And each of these men give us details that we appreciate that fill the picture in a greater way. Again, Mark tells us that his name was Bartimaeus. Doesn't talk about the other man that Matthew mentions here this morning because Bartimaeus was the spokesman. He's the one who has this dialogue with the Lord as he comes through town, as he makes his way. He's days from the cross, chronologically speaking. He's headed toward Jerusalem. And it's the time of the Passover. I'm going to give you details that maybe some of you are thinking, why are you boring us with this information? Because it paints a picture and makes everything that we just read so much more scenic when you understand the depths of God's word, when you have a handle on the Old Testament and the New Testament. So let me give you some information that will tie this thing together and make sense out of it and encourage you in who your Lord is. It was the time of the Passover. It was one of the three mandatory feasts for the Jews around the world to pilgrim to Jerusalem. The city would swell from 200,000 to 300,000 people to 2 to 3 million people, as pilgrims would come from all over the place to come to the temple and to purchase a lamb that was a type of, a shadow of the Lamb of God who was to come to take away their sins. as these pilgrims are coming, as the city swells, for folks to come and to worship the Lord in this way and to ask for forgiveness for the Passover of their sins, here are these two beggar men, one being Bartimaeus, by the side of the road asking for alms, asking for money, which makes perfect sense. As the crowd is going to ask God of something, well, it's opportune for the beggars to ask men of something. You want God to bless you? You bless us, type of an idea here. And they would come to town to purchase their lambs, to sacrifice them, to offer them as an atoning work for their mishaps, for their sins, for their deeds that were despicable in the sight of God. As they were going to do that, little did many of the crowd know that the Lamb of God himself was passing through town. Isn't that beautiful and amazing to you? The Lamb of God, John would say, when Jesus would come on the scene to be water baptized, John would say in John chapter 1, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." The very Lamb of God himself was walking through the streets, the multitudes of people, the millions of people, this religious parade are behind him, and they don't even know who's in front of them. They're on their way to the temple, many of them, to go and get their literal lamb that speaks of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And in their, you know, religious efforts, in their pious deeds, they're walking behind him. And as this whole scene is unfolding, we're told to behold two men who can't behold something themselves. We're told to take sight of these two individuals in verse 30, these two blind men who were sitting by the wayside like they often would be doing, because when you're blind, you can't work. At least in this culture, if you are blind, and scholars believe they were born blind, that means that they never worked. They would go from place to place to beg in order to survive, to get money that they needed, to feed themselves and to clothe themselves and to do whatever else it would be needed for them just to make it through each day. And the crowd would be familiar with them, and they would be familiar with the crowd. They wouldn't know the faces of the crowd, but the crowd would know the faces of these individuals, as it was probably a place that they would frequent often during the main feast, because they knew this is where people were going to pass through. This is where the multitude was going to come by. And as this is happening, as the crowd begins to gather and the parade begins to make its way through the streets of Jericho, they hear something, because their hearing is heightened. Whenever there's a physical handicap, your body naturally compensates for that handicap in other means, through other means. So if I can't see, I hear things in a heightened manner. I hear things louder than the average person. I need to survive. I've got to listen more intently. I've got to listen with greater, you know, ability to hone in on what it is that's going around me, because I can't see like everybody else can. And they hear this ruckus, they hear this noise, they hear these cries and these songs of ascent being sung by the people following Jesus on Passover or near to Passover. And as this is happening, the other gospels tell us that they begin to ask those who are around them, "What's going on? What is all this ruckus that we hear? We can't see, but we hear this crowd of people coming through." And as this happens and they hear Jesus passing by, the crowd says to them in response, "It is Jesus of Nazareth," a general term. This is Jesus of Nazareth who's making his way by. And they say this to themselves, "We can't let him pass us by. We are desperate for him. We need him. He's not just Jesus of Nazareth," which is just a general phrase ascribing who he is. He is more than that to us. They say in verse 30, when they hear that that's Jesus who's walking by them, they say, "Oh, Jesus, have mercy on us. Oh, Lord, thou son of David." They don't have eyesight that those who can see have, but they have insight in their hearts that those who physically can see cannot see. Jesus is called by the crowd, "Oh, it's Jesus of Nazareth." No deity ascribed to him there, but these two blind men say, "Oh, he's not just Jesus of Nazareth. This is Jesus, the son of David," which is saying this, it's the Messiah, it's the anointed one, it's the promised one of God. We've heard about him. We need his mercy, we need his touch, we need his intervention in our lives. We are in a miserable place, and so we need his mercy. We need his touch. We need his grace. We understand that in a way that you folks don't understand that. We need the Lord. We need the Messiah. They ascribe him to be the anointed one, the Son of God, without ever being able to see him based on what they've heard. Just like the gospel, the book of Romans tells us, it tells that faith comes by hearing and the hearing of the word of God. That then means that these two men had heard about Jesus, the testimony of Jesus, that they believed scriptures that said that when Messiah would come, he would open the ears of the deaf, he'd make the lame to walk, he'd make the blind to see. They had heard of what the testimony of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus. And when you're in a season of misery, when you're in a season of suffering, when you're in a great place of anguish, things that you hear from the Word of God have much more of an effect on your life than they do for those who, you know, are just walking through a rose garden, if you would. When you're down and out and you've got nothing else going on for you in the right manner, the way that you want it to be going on, man, when you're suffering, when you're hurting, when the prognosis is bad, you grab a hold of prophecies and promises in God's Word in a way that is so much tighter, so much firmer, so much stronger than those who are not suffering. They heard about what Messiah would do, and that hearing caused their conversion, I believe, even before their healing. Their hearing of what God had been doing, what Jesus had been doing, how he had been touching people and delivering people and ministering to people, already had its effect on their lives without them ever experiencing it themselves. Before they even get to see Jesus or necessarily meet Jesus, they say, "This is the Messiah. We've heard about what Messiah would do. He's not just Jesus from Nazareth. This is Jesus, the Son of David, the promised one, the anointed one of God." You know, and I was thinking on that this morning as I was getting ready to share with you, and I was recalling to myself a conversation I had with my neighbor again across the street this past Friday night. As I told you last week, it was her husband that I shared in my sermon last Sunday, who was recently diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma. And all week long, I'd been praying to the Lord for further opportunity to get to them, to minister to them, to do more for them than I had already done, because I felt like I was still halting short, and I was waiting on the Lord for open doors and opportunities. I was told that I couldn't go and see my neighbor in the hospital. He was receiving chemo for various reasons, so I just thought I'll wait till he gets home. Throughout the week, we had people from church coming here. If you're in this service, thank you so much. You've been an incredible light in a dark season to my neighbors. We had folks coming here bringing gift cards to gas stations for my neighbors to get gas, you know, paid for on their way back and forth to the hospital every day. We had a sister make an amazing pot of soup, bread, cookies. My children made cards. I had this whole care package to bring to them. And I hadn't seen them come home when they were supposed to come home. But Friday evening, I'm watching the draft, the NFL draft. And I see it's dark at this time. I see my neighbor's car pull into the driveway. But I only see his wife get out. I don't see him. And I see her unloading the groceries. So I thought, I'm going to go over there and just bring her. This seems like a good time to, my poor neighbors. I keep going over there. I keep walking across the street up their drive. They're probably thinking, this guy's driving me nuts. She couldn't shut the garage quick enough. But she's unloading the trunk, and her trunk was open, so I knew there's no time for her to shut the trunk and shut the garage door before I can get there. So I get my sandals on, I go across the street with the bag, and I say her name, and I call out to her. And she turns around, and I can just see the life has been sucked out of her. The Lord is surrounding me in the season that I'm in with suffering people. The Lord, I'm not just talking about my family. That's even a different thing, what my family has going on. That's not even what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people in general. I feel like I'm surrounded by cancer. I'm surrounded by marriage failures. I'm surrounded by prodigals. I'm just surrounded by, or maybe I've always been. The Lord's just opening my eyes in a new way. I don't know, but either which way, my heart is breaking for people. And I don't want to be at all like that religious parade who tells people who are hurting to shut their mouths. Listen to me, I don't want to be like the religious parade who, in my pursuit of Jesus, ignore those who have the greatest need of Jesus. Did you catch that? I don't want to be like the religious parade who's flamboyant and boisterous and loud and excited in my pursuit of Jesus, and in the process of that, I am being inconsiderate and insensitive of those who have the greatest need of Jesus. In my pursuit of Jesus, I want to stop and go as Jesus leads me and see what he wants to do in people's lives. So I go across the street, I'm talking to her, and I see right away she turns around. She looks grave. She looks like the color is just missing from her face. She looked thin, unusually thin. And I just began to talk to her, and she said, "Yeah, you know," I said to her, "Here's a bag of," that probably was so weird too. I'm like, "Here's a bag of food, and, you know, I told my church about you guys, but I didn't say too much about you guys. I just told them what you had going on," and people were moved and touched, and I began to tell her she had tears flowing down her face. And I said, I wanted to go see your husband, but this came up and this happened. I was told this and that. I said, but I see that he's not home with you. And I know that it was only a 4-day treatment. It's Friday. Is he okay? And she begins to open up to me. She begins to talk to me and she says, well, actually, because of what he has going on, he had to receive a blood transfusion. That's going to keep him in the hospital for another 24 hours. And I should have never asked why he has to have a blood transfusion or what that means, because I didn't like the answer that was told to me. So now I'm thinking, the Lord ministers my heart, the best counselor, as I've always known, is the best listener. So I thought, I'm just going to listen to her, and I'm going to let her just talk. And she begins to share with me how her and her husband are in their 60s, and how they've had many friends through the years get diagnosed with cancer, divorces, all the sufferings that we are all, you know, familiar with, and maybe even going through ourselves. And she said, through the years, we always tried to be available and helpful to those people. But me and my husband, over the last 24 hours, have had opportunity to sit together, to laugh together, to cry together, just to be quiet together and hold hands. And this strange season of life, been together more than half of our lives, and children, grandchildren, and now we're here. My husband's, you know, facing death unless a miracle happens. And we're sitting together, and we said to each other today, we could have done better. We could have done more. We could have been more broken for people who are hurting. It's just amazing when you're in it, when you're in the thick of it, how people that bless you, how it's magnified, how words that are given, and I believe she meant about scripture, how that you cling to them so much greater, they have such a more a greater impact, effect on your life, because you've got nothing else to carry you through. And I'm thinking about that, and I'm thinking, that's what's going on with Bartimaeus and his friend here. If Jesus doesn't do something in their lives, they're going to be beggars for all of their days. If Jesus doesn't do something here, and what they must have believed to be their last shot, I mean, he's passing by. I think it freaked them out. He can't get away from us is the idea here. We've got to get him before he's out of sight or out of ability to hear us scream out, rather. And if we don't get him now, we might never get him again. There's that for Jesus in their hearts. There's a fervor. There's a burning passion that can't be stifled, not even by a crowd. Because what they have heard, they never seen Jesus. What they had heard about Jesus and what he had done up to that point sufficed them enough that they thought he is the only one, he is the anointed one that we are desperate for.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let's get it right ahead.